I want to share a lesson this morning to encourage mothers as well as encourage all of us as we learn some wonderful things from a lady by the name of Lydia. Our brother read and I hear in Brother Malone passages of scripture from Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15. That talked about an event that happened in the life of Paul as he was traveling on missionary journeys, intending to go one place, he thought, but the Spirit bade him to go in another direction. And he ended up in the city of Philippi. And he met some women there. And one of the women's name was Lydia, as you observed in the reading. So this being Mother's Day, I thought I would take this opportunity to use this fine lady by the name of Lydia to illustrate what great mothers ought to exemplify in their lives. And as I've already said, not only for mothers, but for all of us, these things that we want to share with you briefly today all to be exemplified in all of our lives as we seek to be pleasing in the sight of God. So when we look at this story then as a matter of background for our lesson today, Paul had answered what we call the Macedonian call. Verses 9 and 10 talks about that, what I've just said, that he had intended to go in one direction, but he saw this man in a vision that was beckoning to him to come over and help us. He understood then that that meant that he was to go into Macedonia. So he then, along with his companions, they went into the area of Macedonia, in particular the city of Philippi. And it is described in the Bible as the chief city, one of the main cities in Macedonia. And from history, we learn that Philippi was a military city that had been established by Brutus Cassius and Mark Antony in their fight for the conquest of the world. There were Romans and there were Greeks and a few Jews living in this city. However, there were not enough Jews there to support a synagogue. And we learn again from biblical history that you needed to have at least 10 Jews in a location to have a synagogue. But there were not enough people there to have a synagogue, but what they would do if there were not enough people to have a synagogue, then that would be a house that they would designate as the house of prayer. And it is evident that this location was out near the river. So as Paul went into this city, it was his custom as he would travel from place to place to look for a synagogue so that he could share the word of God. However, not finding a synagogue there, he went a little bit further and he found these ladies near the river where they were worshiping God and making prayer. Well, this lady by the name of Lydia was there, and there's no mention made of a husband, so perhaps, we don't know this for certain, but she may have been a widow. And she also may have been a mother because in verse number 15, it talks about her household. The household does not necessarily mean all the time that there are children, but it can also mean that the servants and the hired people that they would have, but many times it would include children. So she may have been a mother, but whatever, if that were the case or were not the case, there were some great things about this lady that I want, again, to encourage mothers. At any rate, then, we know that she was a successful businesswoman. The Bible describes her as a seller of purple. She was a seller of purple. She was a Greek by birth, but she was a Jewish in religion, and perhaps she was a proselyte. And she was from the city of Thyatira, which was a Gentile city. This city, that is Thyatira, was famous as one of the important headquarters for the famous dyes works that was used for the robes of kings and princes. It may have been that Lydia had moved to Philippi to open a place to market and to sell her beautiful purple and the scarlet robes. Whatever the reason was, in this trade, usually the owner of this type of business would enjoy a reasonable amount of wealth. Thus, perhaps she was rich, or if she was not rich, she was well off. And as we know, riches can change the attitude, the behavior, and even the spirituality of many people. Not all the time this is the case, but many times this may be the case. But when we look at Lydia, I believe we will see that this was not the case with her. There were some wonderful things about this lady by the name of Lydia, and I want us to look at about four wonderful things about this lady by the name of Lydia. In verse number 13 and 14 in Acts chapter 16, the Bible says this. The Bible says, "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, worshipped God," heard us, "whose heart the Lord opened." One thing we notice about this woman by the name of Lydia was that she was one who kept her appointment to worship. That's a great thing about any person, is to always keep your appointment to worship. We have an appointment to worship God. Now notice this was on the Sabbath. And of course, this was before New Testament. She being a Jewish, she would be worshiping on Saturday. She had not become a child of God, that is, a New Testament Christian. So she would be worshiping on Saturday. So again, no synagogue was there, but she would find this house of prayer, this place to go and worship. This was a custom, evidently. Well, she went out there to worship. She kept her appointment to worship. And this was in the midst of a heathen city. Philippi was a heathen city. So I gather from that and want to implore all of us, no matter where we find ourselves on the Lord's day, we need to do just like Lydia, worship. It may be a heathen place, but we need to find ourselves worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, God Almighty. She kept her appointment to worship. I'm reminded of even Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our example. In Luke chapter 4 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "And as his custom was," when he came to Nazareth, the Bible says, "as his custom was, he went into the synagogue to worship." Our Lord's custom was to worship. So the Lord did this. He's our example. We certainly then need to be people who will worship. When God truly means something to us, regular worship will be our lifestyle. I need to say that again. When God truly means something to us, regular worship will be our lifestyle. It is evident that God truly meant something to this lady named Lydia, because on the Sabbath day, she went to worship. Does God truly mean something to you? Or do we think that God just need to bless us anyhow? Brother Dennis talked so much about grace, and the class talked so much about grace this morning in the Bible school lesson. Do we really think that God just owes us something? Do we really think that God is just going to bless us anyhow and we take him for granted? If God really, truly means something to us, then we'll find ourselves worshiping him, praising him, giving him the honor for all the good things that he has done in our lives. He has awakened us this morning. He's given us food to eat. He's given us clothes to wear. He's clothed us in our right mind. And he's sent Jesus from heaven to die on the cross for our sins. He has established the church that we can be members of and have a chance to go to heaven. That ought to mean something to us. Amen. On the first day of the week, we ought to find ourselves worshiping God, praising him for all the good things that he's done for us. So when God truly means something for us, regular worship will be our lifestyle. God is seeking those kind of people to worship him. John chapter 4 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "But the hour cometh." Jesus is having a conversation with the Samaritan woman. And he says, "The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So again, when God truly means something to us, regular worship will be our lifestyle. The psalmist was glad for the occasion to go to the house of God to worship. So he says in Psalm 122 and verse number 1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of God." Oh, we ought to be glad to come together to worship. But some, no doubt, will make every excuse for not worshiping rather than looking forward to worship. The psalmist again said in Psalms 42, verses 1 through 4, he says, "As the hart, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day." Do we leave here and say, how soon next Sunday is going to come? That's the attitude the psalmist is having. He says, "Oh, when can I come before my God?" We ought to have a heart and a mind set on worshiping our God. So Lydia then was one who God meant something to her. And on the Sabbath, she found ourselves worshiping. But notice also that I said that many a times people are affected by material things, wealth and riches and that kind of thing. But remember, she was a seller of purple, and purple was this expensive trade. So evidently she was, as I've said, at least if she wasn't rich, she was well off. But she did not let her well-offness, if that's a word, and it probably isn't, but she did not let her material possessions, her wealth, hinder her from worshiping God. It is evident that she recognized where her blessings came from, that it was God who had blessed her to be successful in this trade. When we recognize that it is God that has blessed us, then we ought not to let that stand in our way of worship. After all, that's what God said to his people when they were on their way to the promised land in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. He says, "Oh, that when you get to that land and when everything is there for you, beware that you don't forget God. When you say that my hands have gotten all of these things," he said, "don't make no mistake about that. It wasn't your hands that got all of that stuff. It was the Lord that blessed you. So it's the Lord that has blessed us to get to whatever level of success, whatever level of material possessions that we have. It's the Lord that has blessed us, and we'll never forget that. So don't allow the material things that we have in our life to stand before us in our service to God. Her wealth, her riches, her material goods didn't stand between her and her worship. I talked about briefly Wednesday night the rich young ruler who failed the test miserably. He allowed his material possessions to get between him and eternal life. He asked the greatest question, yes, what must I do to have eternal life? The Lord told him what he needs to do. He said, I kept all of these things. What lack I yet? He said, one thing you lack. Go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me, and you shall have treasures in heaven, the Bible says. But he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. His possessions got between him and his Lord. Let us never allow our possessions to get between us and our Lord. Lydia is a great example of not allowing her state in life, the blessings that she had, to get between her and her worship. So she was a lady that kept her appointment for worship. Another great thing about this lady, the Bible says, and again in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 14, again, notice what it says. And a certain woman named Lydia, a certain seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. One thing that we can notice about this lady, she was one who had a good and an honest heart. And we need folks that are good and have honest hearts. She was a lady that was good and had an honest heart. Now the Bible says that the Lord opened her heart, but he didn't open her heart against her will. The Lord doesn't force himself on nobody. You've heard me say that 1,000 times if you heard me say it once. He doesn't force himself on anybody. But if people have a good disposition, God can work with that person's heart. Evidently, she had a good disposition. Some people's heart can't be touched. No wonder the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. When you get a person that despises wisdom and instruction, you can't do anything with that person. God can't work with that person. James talked about God working with us in his opening statement this morning. God can't work with a person who's going to despise his wisdom and despise his instruction. We're going to have to love God's wisdom, love God's instruction, so that God can work with us and work through us and work in our lives. Further down in that same chapter of Proverbs, verse 20, the Bible says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she utters her word, saying, how long, you simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you and my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Person with a heart like that, God can't work with them. He can't work with them. So again, he did not force her heart open. But because she had the disposition that she had, he was able to penetrate her heart and work with her heart. Notice what the Bible says when Jesus gave the explanation of the good seed. Well, he had 3 different types of seeds, but I just want to talk about the good seed that was sown. In Luke chapter 8 and verse number 15, when he explained that parable to his disciples, he said this in verse number 15, "But that on the good ground are they, which is in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." So what did Luke say when he wrote? He said this lady by the name of Lydia heard us, heard Paul preaching. And then he says, the Lord opened her heart. Why was that possible? Because she had a good and an honest heart. And because she had a good and an honest heart, as I've said, God could work with her. So again, we need people with good and honest hearts. Lydia was a great lady because she had a good and an honest heart. She had an open mind. Many of people have closed minds, but she had an open mind. Reminds me of the Bereans. Acts 17 and verse number 11. The Bible says those were more noble than those at Thessalonica in that they received the word of God with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Bible goes on in the next passage to say, as a result, many of them believed. But if they had had hearts like was talked about in Proverbs chapter 1, many of them would not believe because they would not have searched the scriptures. They would not allow the word of God to penetrate into their lives, but because they had some good hearts. Lydia was a person who had a good and an honest heart. But not only was she a lady of worship, not only was she a lady who had a good and honest heart, but notice again what the Bible says in Acts 16 and verse number 15. "And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house." She was one evidently who had great influence. Notice not only was she baptized, but the Bible says her household was baptized. Perhaps they were impressed by her devotion. Maybe it was her prayers and her worship that she consistently engaged in. Could it have been her honest business dealings? Maybe it was her wholesome conduct. But whatever it was, she made a good impression on those in her household and those that were working with her. And so as a result then of their hearing the word, she was baptized, and not only was she baptized, but her entire household was baptized. You remember somebody else like that? Go a little bit further over in Acts chapter 16, and you read about the Philippian jailer and his household. Come back in Acts chapter 10. You read about Cornelius and his household. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to have influence, brothers and sisters, among those in your house and even those out of your house. It's a good thing to have influence. And as a matter of fact, that's what Jesus wants us to, as the scripture that James talked about this morning, that we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and the good works will influence somebody else. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13, he said, "You are the salt of the earth." He said, "You are the salt of the earth." But if the salt has lost its influence, lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? He says, "It's good for nothing." Do you want to be good for nothing? I know we don't want to be good for nothing, do we? But if we have lost our influence, our good positive influence as a Christian, as a child of God, Jesus is saying, we're good for nothing. Good for nothing, he says, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. The scripture goes on and says in the next passage that you are the what? Light of the world. A city that sits on the hill, he says, it cannot be hid. Brothers and sisters, realize that we are the light. And we need to show the world the light. We need to be like Lydia again, be a person of good influence, make good impression on people. So this great lady was one who had great influence. Verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5 says, therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works. We were created for good works. That's what we were created in Christ Jesus for. Good works. So people need to see our good works. And I'm glad it was qualified. It didn't just say works. It said good works. Because they are evil works. We need to let the world see our good works. So that we could have an influence like this great lady. So she was one who had great influence. Lastly, this morning, when we look a little bit further in the Word of God, Acts chapter 16 and verse number 15 again, notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and where? To my house and abide there. What does that say about this lady? That this lady was one who was given to hospitality. Do you see that in that verse? I see that in that verse. That she was a lady that was given to hospitality. Yeah, she opened her home to Paul and his companions. She says, if you judge us faithful to the Lord, then you come into my house and abide there. She was willing to use her resources for the cause of Christ. You know, this was typical of Christians in the first century. They used their resources for the cause of Christ in being hospitable to one another. Just after the day of Pentecost, the Bible talks about this fact in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. And all that believed, the Bible says, were together and had all things common and said, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. That was benevolence, yes, but it was also hospitality. Hospitality is reaching out and serving people. Yes, indeed, they were hospitable Christians. And Gaius, a great brother in the Lord, was commended by the Apostle John for doing this very same thing. In 3 John chapter 5 and 6, notice what John says. John says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on thy journey after a godly soul, thou shalt do well. Notice what Lydia was doing. Lydia was helping bring Paul and his companions forward on their journey. So she says, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, then come into my house and abide there. And the Bible goes on and says that when Paul left, that he ended up, you know how the story goes, further on in the chapter 16 of the book of Acts, that he ended up in jail, in prison, because of his preaching the gospel. But notice what happened when he got out of prison, when he was released, when God blessed him to be released from prison. I want you to notice something, what happened. The Bible says that when he got out of prison, in verse number 40 of Acts chapter 16, the Bible says, we don't have it up there, perhaps. Well, there it is, okay. And they went out of the prison and entered into the where? House of Lydia. Do you think if she had not served and ministered to him well, that he would have gone back to her house? She was a hospitable lady. When folks treat you well and treat you nice, you want to go back to them. So Paul went back to the house of Lydia. And when she had seen the brethren, they comforted, or when they had seen the brethren, rather, they comforted them, and then they departed. But she treated them well, and so he went back to the house of Lydia. I'm talking about she was a lady of hospitality. And she did this to a person that she had just met. wasn't somebody that she had known for 50 years, but she had just met Paul and his companions. But then she said again, come into my house and abide there. What a great attitude. Does that remind you anything of what Hebrews chapter 13 says and verse number 1 and 2? Look at what it says. It says, let brotherly love do what? Continue. And the next passage says what? Be not forgetful to entertain who? Strangers. These folks were strangers to Lydia. But Lydia still said, come into my house. I hadn't seen you before, but come into my house. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. She was a great lady of hospitality. So we learn then that we need to be hospitable people. As a matter of fact, we are commanded to be hospitable people. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9, I believe it is, Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13, Paul starts talking about some individual things that Christians needed to do, but particularly in verse number 13, he says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. So are we hospitable? We don't want to be bothered with folks. Some folks don't want to be bothered with folks. But we need to be folks that want to be bothered with folks. We need to be hospitable. Lydia didn't mind being bothered with Paul. Sometimes folks don't want to get inconvenienced. Oh, here they come. Brother Gary, I better shut the door. We need to be bothered with folks and be hospitable individuals. Whether we have little or whether we have much, still be willing to be hospitable. You know, the Bible says this about the widow of Zarephath. Y'all remember her? In 1 Kings chapter 17, she was the lady that was ready to prepare the last that she had and then die. Y'all remember that story? Go ahead and read it sometime. 1 Kings chapter 17. The man of God, Elijah, went to her house and said, prepare me a meal. She said, I don't have but just a little. And I'm ready to cook that. And me and my son gonna eat that, and we're gonna die. But the man says, you make us you be hospitable to me if I can do it like that. You be hospitable to me, and everything will be well. Look at what the Bible says. Let me read you just a couple of passages. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. This is verse 13 of 1 Kings 17. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. He said, yeah, you go and you do what you wanted to do. But first of all, you make something for me first. And then you go and make something for your son. Look at what the Bible continues to say. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sent his rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. She thought she was getting ready to die. But because she showed some hospitality and fed the man of God, God blessed her for it. When we are hospitable people, God will bless us. Don't cut off your blessings from God because you don't want to be bothered with folks. God wants to bless us. So Lydia said to Paul, come into my house, a great lady of hospitality. Those four things, or these four things that I've shared with you this morning, I hope they will help all of us. And thank God for all mothers who are like Lydia. Thank God for all of us who are like Lydia. And if we are not like Lydia, then let's get to work. And let's try to be just like Lydia. Because Lydia was a great person in the sight of God. And God could use her. God can use us. And then we look at ourselves inwardly. How do we measure up? Is there anything that I need to change about my life, you need to change about your life, so that you could be the same person type of person that Lydia was. You need to make some changes. Be thankful that God has given you another opportunity to make those changes in your life so that you can be a fine Christian. And again, if you're mothers, be a wonderful mother like Lydia. If you're a Christian, be a wonderful Christian like Lydia. And if you're not a Christian, then you need to become one so that you can add these attributes and these traits to your life. How can you do that? You do that by believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who loved you, came from heaven, coats of glory, toil and tabernacle among men, and then went to the cross and died for the sins of the world. They buried him in Joseph's new tomb, but on the third day, he was resurrected. Believe in him as the Son of God, then turn away from your sins. That's called repentance. Make a good confession that you believe that he is the Son of God. Then go down, just like Lydia and her household did. Go down in a water grave of baptism for the remission of sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Come up from that water grave of baptism. Then add to your faith these wonderful Christian virtues. Grow in grace and in the knowledge and in admonition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be faithful unto death. The Lord says, I'll give you a crown of life. So would you come then this morning? If you have not been baptized, you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, would you come this morning? If you have already obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, but somehow you're lacking, maybe in some of these qualities we've talked about in Lydia, may not be in that, but you may be lacking in some other area, may have erred in some other area, turn away from whatever it is. If you need to make that confession of sin in your life, would you come? If you just need prayer, whatever your need is this morning, would you come? God is calling the prodigal to come. Would you stand and sing at this time? Anybody who needs to come, would you come?
Without delay, hear, O hear him calling, calling out for thee. Though you wander so far from his presence, does come today. Hear, O heavenly voice, all is still.
Is that why that needs to come? Would you come? Would you come?
Now for thee. Oh, every body come.
Would you come? Would you come?
Call it now for thee.
Is that one that would come?